Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the one who has been anointed to be our Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, happy Epiphany. Now that's a greeting that we don't always hear very often, do we? 2 short weeks ago, we gathered together right here to celebrate the birth of the child of Bethlehem. Today, we fast forward about 30 years, and we focus our attention on Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. This means that we have now moved from the season of Christmas into the season of Epiphany. Epiphany. Epiphany is a word that comes from the Greek word that means reveal. Today, if someone says, "I had an epiphany," they probably mean that they had an important, perhaps life-changing revelation. In the Christian church here, that is the purpose of the season of Epiphany, to reveal important truths about Jesus, truths that have a powerful, life-changing impact on our hearts and our lives today. For most of his life, Jesus was known as the son of Mary and Joseph. He followed his stepfather, his adoptive father, Joseph, into the carpentry business. The people of his hometown of Nazareth undoubtedly saw Jesus as just a very nice young man, hardworking, honest, helpful, loyal, and a good role model for others to follow. But around the age of 30, the fuller truth about Jesus of Nazareth began to be revealed. That fuller truth centered on his person, his power, and his purpose. It started with Jesus standing in the Jordan River with his cousin John. The biggest epiphany concerning Jesus of Nazareth then took place on a mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. With that fuller truth in mind, the sermon series that we are going to be following during the season of Epiphany is From the Jordan to the Mountain. Today, as you and I begin this Epiphany journey with our Savior, let's see how our text for today reminds us that when it comes to the Epiphany of Jesus, it begins with baptism. John, keeping with his straightforward, simple, succinct style, begins our text for today by saying, "And so John came, baptizing in the desert region, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: After me will come one who is more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Try to picture those words in your minds, my friends. All of a sudden, seemingly out of nowhere, a very rugged preacher appeared out in the Judean desert, proclaiming a very rugged message. Dressed like one of the prophets of old and eating a very simple diet of locusts and wild honey, John knew who he was. John knew the God-given purpose that he had been given, to prepare God's people to meet the promised Messiah. And John acted accordingly. He didn't seek popularity, but certainly he was a very popular person. And the people, oh, the people, they came from the whole Judean countryside and from the city of Jerusalem. And as the people listened to John preach the powerful message of God's law, as they heard John proclaim the need for a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, what did the people do? They openly and publicly confessed their sins and were then baptized by John in the Jordan River. Since the hallmark of John's ministry centered around a preaching of baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, we need to make sure that we understand exactly what that means. The word that is translated here as repentance signifies a change of heart and a change of mind. Repentance leads us to change the way that we look at sin. Repentance leads us to see that sin cannot and will not bring us satisfaction or fulfillment in our life. With every temptation to sin, there is a deception that it will bring about something good, some kind of benefit, some degree of fulfillment. But if we give in to that temptation, we realize that just the opposite is true. We experience guilt. We experience emptiness. We experience shame. That's why repentance leads us to change our mind about sin. Repentance enables us to see that sin only brings pain. Pain to us and pain to the people around us. Repentance enables us to see that sin ultimately ends in death. Eternal death. That's why John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Once the power of God's law leads a person to repent of their sins, once the power of God's law leads us to loathe our sin and to turn away from our sin, then the power of God's glorious gospel message leads us to turn to our God and receive what we need, His forgiveness. That's why John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A more literal translation of this passage in our text would be, John came baptizing in the desert and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the purpose of the cancellation, the forgiveness of sins. John's baptism was not just an outward sign of someone's faith. John's baptism was not just a way in which someone reveals their dedication to God, an act of obedience, you might say. No, my friends. John's baptism was a baptism for the purpose of repentance, of forgiveness, of cancellation of sins. All those people who came out into the desert to hear John preach the powerful message of God's word, both law and gospel, they were receiving God's grace by means of baptism. Except for one. Mark goes on to say in our text, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Out of all of the people who came out into the desert to be baptized by John for the purpose of the cancellation, the forgiveness of sins, Jesus was the only one who did not need the cancellation, who did not need the forgiveness of sins, and you know exactly why. Jesus did not need the cancellation, the forgiveness of sins, because Jesus did not have any sins that needed to be canceled. He did not have any sins that needed to be forgiven. As the true Son of the one and only living God, Jesus was and is just and perfect, holy and righteous in and of himself. Perfection, holiness and righteousness were a part of his very being, his very nature. Then why? Why did Jesus go out into the desert to be baptized in the Jordan? Jesus insisted on being baptized in the Jordan so that he could stand side by side with us sinners and show his solidarity with all sinners. Even though he had no sin whatsoever, there in the Jordan, Jesus was not only identifying himself with us, but he was also publicly dedicating himself to the work of saving us from our sins. There in the Jordan, Jesus was revealed as the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, whom the Lord God had promised to send into this world. The fact that Jesus' baptism was the beginning of his 3-year public ministry here on this earth is confirmed in 2 very powerful ways. First of all, Mark tells us that when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, heaven was torn open, and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. This anointing with the Holy Spirit is what publicly revealed that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who has been anointed to serve us as our prophet, our priest, and our king. Second, Mark tells us that God the Father spoke from heaven and said to Jesus, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Could there be a more powerful testimony to the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is both the true Son of God and the true Son of Man? With these words, God the Father himself was publicly revealing that Jesus of Nazareth is the fulfillment of all of the promises that he made down through the history of this world, beginning with the promise that he made in the Garden of Eden, the promise that an offspring, a descendant of Eve, would crush Satan's head, even though he knew that it would result in his own suffering and death. We certainly do not want to overlook the fact that Jesus' baptism reveals that the one true God is the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There at the Jordan River, the triune God was revealing that Jesus of Nazareth is the focal point of his entire plan of salvation for this world. The long period of expectation and preparation was now over. Satan's power and dominion are doomed. This world's redemption is now at hand. The most momentous days that this world would ever see, the days of those 3 years of public ministry, culminating in his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, they are now about to begin. So how do we take the epiphany of Jesus there in the Jordan River and apply it to our own hearts and to our own lives today? In other words, my friends, what do we want to take home with us this morning? What we want to take home with us today is the comfort and the confidence that Jesus' baptism gives to us. The fact that Jesus, the sinless Son of God, was willing to stand side by side with sinners like us gives us the comfort and the confidence of knowing that Jesus was willing to do everything, everything that was necessary to reach his goal, the goal of saving us from our sins. Jesus' baptism gives us the comfort and the confidence of knowing that all of Jesus' work as the Christ, as the Messiah, was pleasing and acceptable to our Heavenly Father. You may recall that it was just 3 short years later on the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, that the Heavenly Father once again put his stamp of approval on the messianic work of Jesus. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus' baptism gives us the comfort and the confidence of knowing that there's nothing that we need to do in order to be saved, because Jesus has done it all. And as the Apostle Paul reminded us from our reading from the book of Romans this morning, Jesus' baptism in the Jordan gives us the comfort and the confidence of knowing what the Lord God Almighty does for us when we are baptized. Just as John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the purpose of the cancellation, the forgiveness of sins, so also, when we were baptized with water in the name of the triune God, all of our sins were canceled. All of our sins were forgiven. All of our sins were washed away through the holy waters of baptism. at the very same time, when we were baptized with water in the name of the Triune God, God the Holy Spirit descended on us, and he created in our hearts the gift of saving faith. When we were baptized with water in the name of the Triune God, we were adopted by the living God himself. Now, when the God of heaven looks at us, he says, "This is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Do not underestimate the powerful impact that your baptism has on your day-to-day life. No matter what is happening in your life, you always have the power and the privilege of saying, "I am a baptized, saved, forgiven, and adopted child of the Heavenly Father." When things are going well in your life, you can lift up your eyes to heaven and say thank you to your Heavenly Father. When you are struggling in your life, when you are overwhelmed by the guilt of your sin, you can humbly get on your knees and confidently ask your Heavenly Father to help you and to forgive you. It begins with baptism. That certainly was true for Jesus. Jesus' baptism in the Jordan was the beginning of a 3-year public journey, a journey that would lead him directly to the cross on Calvary's Hill. Jesus was willing to take this journey. Jesus was willing to accept whatever ridicule and whatever rejection came his way as he continued down this journey. Jesus was willing to endure all the pain and all the suffering that he knew was in store for him, because he knew that this was the only way to reach his goal of saving us from our sins. It begins with baptism. The same is true for us, my friends. Our baptism was the beginning of a new life for us. Our baptism marked the beginning of our life as a dearly beloved child of God. Our baptism is what enables us to endure whatever ridicule and rejection, whatever pain and suffering comes our way as we journey through this world. Our baptism is what enables us to stay focused on our goal of entering into the gate of the kingdom of heaven itself and hearing our Heavenly Father say to us, "Welcome home, my beloved child. Welcome home. To God be the glory. Amen." Please rise.